talking about this idea of who you are and who God is and how that fits together. And we've looked at Ephesians chapter 2, just the first 10 verses. And we've talked about how we're sinners and how we need a Savior. And then we've talked about how we, if you know Christ, with Christ, you are God's masterpiece and how God has a master plan for your life. And this is the last week we're going to talk about this idea of who. But I wanted to remind you of why knowing who you are and who God is and how you relate to God is so foundationally important. That's why we sing the song Forever Reign and Stronger and Your Grace is Enough. Is it is about, those songs are about God's strength and His strength and ability to meet our need, because you never know when you're going to wake up one morning and your whole world is going to be changed. Some of you guys have experienced the difficulty of parents getting divorced. You didn't plan for that. You didn't know that was coming. You needed a foundation in that moment that you got that news, knowing, listen, here's who I am and here's who God is, and knowing that He's strong enough to be with you and to be able to get you through that. For those of you that have had a family move or you've changed schools, you need to know who you are and who God is, or else the storms of this life are going to knock you down. You have got to have a solid foundation, not a strong tower that you built yourself and is strong in yourself, but a strong God who you are anchored to. You never know when your friends are going to turn their backs on you. You never know when that person's going to break up with you. You never know when you're going to get news that there is a sickness in your family, and it is a serious one. You never know when you're going to wake up and someone you love is gone, and they're out of your life for good. You never know what's going to happen. One thing the Scriptures say very clearly is that in this world you will have trouble. The Bible says when the storms come, there will be storms. There will be trouble. So what are you anchored to? It's not so much about who you are, but who you know and who you are anchored to that defines who you are and who you will be. And these are tough years, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, so you've got to know who you are. So I'm taking you back today to the most basic truth, all right? If anybody asks you what it means to be a Christian, I'm going to give you a simple answer today. This is the basic truth of Christianity. This is the foundation of Christianity. This is the foundation of this church. This is the foundation of this ministry to 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And this is going to be different than any other message. This is going to be highly interactive. I want you guys to scream at me. And through screaming at me and me screaming at you, we're going to scream at each other, okay? We are going to remember what we are saying. So I'm going to give you four pieces of information, all right? I'm going to give you two pieces of bad news and two pieces of good news. And each piece of news that I'm going to give you is going to have a verse that goes with it and an illustration to illustrate that piece of news. So all in all today, you are going to memorize 12 things. Four pieces of news, four verses, and four illustrations. And we're going to memorize it through interacting. So I want everybody to be involved. I'm not the speaker. We're all the speakers. I'm going to speak to you, and I want you to speak to me. And through speaking, we are going to memorize this foundational truth. Because if your life, let me say it again, if your life is not firmly anchored and grounded in this truth, if you don't understand the bad news and how bad it is, and if you don't understand the good news and how good it is, then when the storms come, you're going to get swept away. And I'm telling you, man, I'm not trying to scare you. It's just life. The storms are coming. And some of you guys have been there and you know what I'm talking about. So here's the first point of bad news, y'all, is you are a sinner. Scream it at me.
You are a sinner.
Get mad at me and tell me you're a sinner.
You're a sinner.
Say it again.
You're a sinner.
That's the first part of bad news. Some of you guys are really mad at me. That's the first part of bad news, is that you're a sinner. And the verse that goes with that is Romans 3:23. So just say that. Romans 3:23. Say it to me.
Romans 3:23.
This is your verse. So the first point of bad news is?
You're a sinner.
Let's try that again. The first point of bad news is?
You're a sinner.
And the verse is?
Romans 3:23.
Which says, for everyone has sinned. Everyone has sinned. And all have fallen short of the glory of God. Now, I'm going to give you this illustration here with this dodgeball, with this soccer ball, and with this football, okay? This dodgeball here represents your life, all right? And let's just say your life was trying to make it to God. Make it to heaven, all right? But heaven is 635, which is that way over top of a big brown building, okay? And let's just say I were to take this life out on that balcony and try to throw it, all right? No matter how hard I throw, no matter how much I work out, even if I try to punt it, I will never get this ball all the way over that big brown building on to 635. No matter what I do, no matter how many times I try, which, by the way, you've only got one life. You've only got one shot. But even if you had 1,000 lives and 1,000 shots to live it perfectly, you would always fall short of God's glorious standard. So go back to the first point of good news. The first point of good news is?
Bad news, sorry.
First point of bad news is? Say it again. And the verse is? Which says that everyone has sinned. Sinned means missed the mark. It's an archery term. You got one shot with your life to hit God's perfect standard. And every single one of us has missed the bullseye. We've missed the target completely. All right? We've got one shot. I just want to show you how far we've missed the mark. So I've got cameras out there, live feed. I'm going to run out the door. I'm going to throw this. I'm going to throw this football. I'll probably try the football first because I think I can get it farthest. And then I'm going to punt this soccer ball. And I'll show you how close I get to God's glorious standard. So check this out. We got the cameras ready. Here we go. All right, everybody. Here we go. I'm going to try to throw this football all the way over the church, maybe on the 635 onto the highway. All right? Now, you might be stronger than me, but I've got a pretty strong arm, so let's see how it goes. You ready? That slipped. That slipped out of my hands. Let me do the dodgeball, okay? I've got a blue dodgeball here. I've got a good dodgeball arm. You'll see it at Pine Cove when we play war ball. It's going all the way over.
Come on!
I didn't even make it to the top of the church, but that doesn't mean that this soccer ball isn't going on at 635. I was a high school soccer player, played all 4 years, varsity team. I'm just going to punt this all the way over. Here we go. There it is. Okay. Well, I got it up on top, but I didn't quite make it over. And I'll tell you, that's a lot like us and God. No matter how hard we try, we're never going to get a ball all the way over the church. It doesn't matter how strong you are, no one's going to get it that far. And that's like reaching God, right? There's nothing that we can do to be good enough to earn our way to God and to please Him. Let's talk more about it inside. Not even close, right? I mean, I made it up on the roof when I punted the soccer ball, but nowhere close to clearing the whole building, okay? This is how far all of us fall short of God's glorious standard. All right, we just don't even make it. So the first point of bad news is you're a sinner. You're a sinner. Tell me about it. What's the first point of bad news? And the verse is for all have sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard. And so the illustration for that is, let's try it again. The illustration is, let me tell you this, the bad news, okay? The bad news gets worse, all right? The second point of bad news is this. Your wages for sin is death, all right? Now, don't yell at me. Look at a friend and say, your wages for sin is death, and cut your throat. Now, your wages for sin is death. All right? And it's funny to look at your friend and say, death! Your wages for sin is death! Ah! It's really funny. It's hilarious until you're sitting in your bed at night crying so hard that your mom and dad don't know what to do and they can't comfort you because life is killing you and you're dying. It's funny until you get in a car accident and you don't make it out alive. And you stand at the judgment seat, and God says, you're a sinner. Oh, that was funny at church. I remember that. And then He says, your wages for sin is death. And you go, oh, yeah, I remember like this, God. And then you never see God again for all eternity. Then it's not so funny. You see, this one's serious. Because your wages for sin is death. And the verse is Romans 6:23, same book that for all have sinned comes in. And it says the wages of sin is death. So the second point of bad news is that your wages for your sin is death. And the verse is Romans 6:23. Do I have any 8th grade girls in this room that like babysitting? Raise your hand. 8th grade girls that are babysitters. Do I have any 8th grade girls that are babysitters that went to Mohawk Elementary? 8th grade girl, babysitter, went to Mohawk Elementary. Anyone went to Bowie? Anybody went to Bowie? You live in that neighborhood? Are you in 8th grade? Come up here, Jessica. Come on, Jessica. It's Jessica Lord, everybody. Let's hear it for her. All right, Jessica, you're in 8th grade. You live in my neighborhood, right? Okay, would you like to babysit Chapman and Cole?
I'd have to think about that first.
Oh, come on. Come on. It would be easy. We'd put them to bed, and all you have to do is sit and watch TV at our house. I'll pay you $10 an hour. All right. Let's make it interesting. I've got $10 right here. I'll give you a $10 down payment for the first hour if you'll agree to babysit my kids one day.
I still want to talk to my parents first.
Okay. You could bring a parent with you. How would that sound?
I don't know.
All right. Anybody want to take this $10 today? All right. Go have a seat. I like the prudence and the thoughtfulness, but sit down. All right. Who? I know. I want a girl. I don't want some boy watching my kids. You guys are... Somebody that lives in Richardson. Go ahead. Have a seat. Unless you change your mind. You live in Richardson? You're in 8th grade?
Yeah.
All right, what's your name?
Jesse
what?
Stiegel.
All right, Jesse Stiegel. All right. Someday you wouldn't mind babysitting a 4-year-old and a 1.5-year-old? All right, have you ever changed a poopy diaper before?
Yes.
Sick. Not your own, right?
No.
Okay. I'm going to give you $10 as a down payment. Okay. I need to get your contact information.
Okay.
And I pay $10 an hour. So this is your wage for the first hour, and then every hour you work after that, I'll give you $10 more. Deal?
Okay. Deal.
Let's shake on it. Thank you, Jesse. Have a seat. All right, Jesse Siegel just made some wages, all right? Wages are what happen when you get paid. If you work for me, I pay you, all right? I've got a job for some guys that live in Richardson. I don't have any more cash, but if you live in my neighborhood, I've got some housework that needs to be done. Yeah, I'll reach out to you, okay? And I'll pay you $5 an hour. Isn't that a good deal? All right. Hey, my kids' lives are much more important than my leaves. All right, rake leaves for $5 an hour. You keep my kids alive for 10. That's the deal, all right? Listen, the illustration for the second point of bad news is wages, okay? That is what you earn when you do a job for me, all right? When we miss the mark, what we earn for our sin is not a reward. The wages we earn is death. That is what the Bible promises. That is how it works. God is perfect and He has a perfect standard. And all who do not meet it receive the wages that are just. All right? So let's go back. The first point of bad news is you're a sinner. Say it to me.
You're a sinner.
And the verse is?
Romans 3:23.
And the illustration is?
God.
And the second point of bad news is?
Wages. You're.
Let's try that again. More bad news is? And the verse is Romans 6:23. And the illustration is? All together now, the illustration is? Very good. Very good. Guys, let me remind you. These are the most basic foundational truths of Christianity. And you would be shocked at how many college freshmen and sophomores that sat in the very seats you're sitting in and went through Wake and went through Shoreline, if you were to ask them, what is the good news? That's another word for gospel, okay? The word gospel. If you say, what is the gospel? They'll go fumble around and go, oh, you know, God loves us and Jesus died. And you're like, okay, but yeah, but why did Jesus die? And you know, all that. And they can't tell the whole story. This is the story, all right? These 4 points, this is the story. You have got to know this. This is your foundation for all of your life. So people are falling apart everywhere because they're not built on this foundation. They don't have a clear understanding of who they are. You are a sinner. And the wages for your sin is death. Say it another way. 3 weeks ago, we said that you're sinful, you're spiritually dead, and you're the subject of God's anger if you are without Christ. But now I bring Christ into the story. God sent Christ into the story for us. So now we finally have some good news. You ready? The first point of good news is this. Christ died for you. The first point of good news is?
Christ died for you.
Say it like you mean it. Tell me about it. The first point of good news is? That is good news. And the verse is Romans 5:8. The verse is?
Romans 5:8.
Everybody say it. Scream it. The verse is?
Romans 5:8.
You see, God is just. He is like a judge that always executes justice and He gives the person who is accused what they deserve. But God is also loving. And so God demonstrates His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God executed His justice. If He is a judge and we're standing before Him and He says, you're a sinner, the wages for your sin is death. God is a just judge and He doesn't just say, oh, never mind, I'll let you go free. No, He says, there's a penalty for that sin and death has to be paid. But God loves us and so He sent His own Son to die in our place. The illustration for this that I want to use, because it's familiar to almost all of our lives, is many of us have had a family member that has had some form of cancer, or you know somebody, a teacher, or a parent of a friend, or a grandparent of a friend that has had cancer. Here's the illustration, it's cancer, all right? If you were to be sitting in a hospital bed, suffering and dying from cancer, and I were to enter the room and tell the doctors, remove all of the cancer cells out of their body and put them in mine, and the doctor were to be able to complete that procedure, you would live and I would die in your place. This is what Christ has done for us. The illustration is cancer. He has taken the cancer of our sin and the penalty that it deserves upon Himself on the cross. That is the illustration. So the first point of bad news is you're a sinner. All right, say it with me now. The verse for that is Romans 3:23, and the illustration is? The second point of bad news is your wages for sin is? And the verse is?
Romans 3:23.
And the illustration is? Wages. But the first point of good news is? Christ died for you, and the verse is Romans 5:8, and the illustration is cancer. And this brings us to the final and the best news of all. This is the second point of good news is this. You can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this is a longer one, so you got to have a little bit of rhythm here. It's you can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. So the second point of good news is? All right, Micah, just put who up on the screen. Don't change it. I want to see how much we've memorized. We're going to talk about that point, but I want to make sure we've got the first three down. Are you guys ready? No cheat sheet on the screen. Scream it out if you know it. The first point of bad news is you're a sinner. And the verse is Romans 3:23. And the illustration is? The second point of bad news is your wages for sin is death. And the verse is? And the illustration is? And the first point of good news is Christ died for you. And the verse is Romans 5:8. And the illustration is? Very good. You're getting it. All right. On to the second point of good news. It was you can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And the verse is back to Ephesians chapter 2, what we've been looking at these first 3 weeks. And Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says this, that it is by grace you have been saved through faith. All right, you can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And this is not from yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. Where did it go? And so it's over here. The illustration is a chair. All right? You were not in the factory when this chair was built, but you believe that it is a chair. You know it's a chair because you learned as a child that a chair is something that has four legs and a back and a place you can sit on. You know this is a chair and you believe it's a chair, but faith, all right, faith is not just belief, all right? Even the devil believes that Jesus is the Son of God. No, faith is belief plus trust. And so you can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ was this chair, it's not enough just to know that Jesus Christ was a man that walked this earth. It's not enough even to believe that he completed many miracles during his time on this earth, or even believe that he rose from the dead after he died on the cross. All right, even the devil and all his demons, they believe that. You can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ, which is belief plus trust. All right, and it's not enough just to know that this is a chair and believe it's a chair and believe that it will hold you up. What it takes to be saved, and the second point of good news, is to put your trust in the chair and to give your whole life and all of yourself to the chair and let it support you. And you're no longer supporting yourself. You're not doing a wall sit where your legs are burning. You're sitting in a chair where you can rest and relax. And what good news is that? Look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 again. Micah, put it on the screen. It's by grace you've been saved. God gave you this chair as a gift. There's nothing that you did to earn it. And it's through faith that you're saved, not from yourselves. It's a gift from God, not by works, so that no man can boast. Your faith isn't in church attendance. It's not in small group attendance. Your faith is not in good deeds or scripture memory or the fact that you are from a Christian family or go to a Christian school, all right? Just because I go to a Mavs game doesn't make me a Mav. I could never start for the Dallas Mavericks, all right? Unless someone gave me a starting role as a gift and unless I put on the magic shoes from Like Mike and suddenly I could jump up and dunk and make all my shots. Then maybe I could play for the Mavs. Jesus Christ is your magic shoes, baby. You could never make your way to heaven. You would always fall short. And you don't get to be a Christian or get into heaven because you go to church. I've always heard people say, just because you go to McDonald's, it doesn't make you a cheeseburger. All right? Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. All right? Putting your faith in Christ and resting in Him and Him alone and the work that He completed on the cross and trusting that Christ died for you, receiving forgiveness, receiving God's grace, that is the only way to be saved. And that is the good news. And there is no other good news like, hey, if you just keep trying, if you work out, then you can throw the ball over the building and make it to God. You're never going to do it. The only good news is that you can be saved through faith in Christ. All right? Not any other religion. Not any good deeds or works. It's not that your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. No. One bad deed, you missed the mark. You've fallen short. All right, so the second point of good news is you can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Say it with me. You can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And memorize where the verse is found. It's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Say it with me. The verse is? Everybody louder, especially the front row. I didn't hear you. The verse is? And the illustration is? No cheat sheet. Here we go. The first point of bad news is, and the verse is, and the illustration, the second point of bad news is, and the verse is, and your illustration is, I'm losing some of you guys. Stick with it. The first point of good news is you. I did the wrong one. Christ died for you. And the verse is Romans. And the illustration there is. And the second point of good news is you. You can be saved through. You can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Christ! And the verse for that is Ephesians. Louder, Landry, the verse is Ephesians. And the illustration is. So now, if someone asks you who you are, you can say, I'm a Christian. And when they say, what does that mean? You can tell them. This is what it means to be a Christian. To know that you're a sinner. And to know that the wages for your sin is death. To know that you've separated yourself from God. And there's nothing you can do to get to Him. But that Christ died for you. And that you can be saved through faith in Him. And that faith is not just belief, but it's trust. And so I leave you guys with this question. When we talk about who you are, who are you? Are you a person that has genuinely, truly sat down in this chair? Or are you a person that genuinely believes that this is a chair? You believe that Jesus is God's Son. You believe that He died on the cross and that He rose again. You even believe that God loves you, that God has a plan for your life, and that God wants to make you His masterpiece. Maybe you believe that, but do you trust it? Like, do you actually let your feet go off the ground and you give your whole life to Him? That's the question I want you all to wrestle with. I heard one shout out yes, and I'm proud of that kid because he knows for sure that his life is in God's hands and not his own. And that is the only way that you will ever see life on this earth and in the life to come, is if your life is in God's hands and God's alone. If it's in your own, you're going to make a mess of it. But He will make you His masterpiece. That's Ephesians 2:10 that comes right after 2:8 and 9. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, not by works, so that no man can boast. It's a gift of God. Then it says, and we are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus to do the good works He has planned for us. God has a plan for your life, a master plan, and He wants to make you His masterpiece. But He can only do that if you are clay in the master's hands. All right? If you are handing over the brush to Him and not trying to paint your own life or write your own story. You've got to trust Him. You've got to sit down and lift your feet off the ground and say, God, my whole life is yours. All right, this is the end of this Who series. But this is foundational stuff, man. If your life isn't anchored in this, you're going to be tossed around by the waves. And your life's going to look more like death than life. And I want you guys' life to look like life. All right? In your small groups this week, you're going to prove what you learned this morning. I want you guys to pair up and every one of you guys to stand up in front of the rest of your group and do the good news and the bad news. Do it all by yourself. See if you can go through all both bad news and both good news and say the verses and everything. I want you to memorize four verses, all right? And see if you can do this. This is a great way to share with people how they can have life too. And it's a great way to know for sure that you do. I'm going to pray and I want you to stay put. I have a few announcements, okay? Let's bow our heads.